Welcome to the Cheyenne Vineyard Podcast, bringing you a message of hope for your everyday world. If you'd like to contact us at info@CheyenneVineyard.com. You can also find out more information about the Cheyenne Vineyard Church at CheyenneVineyard.com. Thank you and enjoy today's podcast.
Yeah, I feel like what Gary was sharing from the Lord is significant to where we are as a body. That the Lord is wanting to release more authority to us. He's wanting to take us higher individually and corporately. And we don't know exactly what that looks like. But there's this common saying here in America that a definition of stupidity, it applies to a lot of similar words, is to keep doing the same thing and expect different results. Well, the Lord is saying that this is a time when we can't just keep doing the same thing. Because he is not wanting us to get the same results. He's wanting to take us higher. He's wanting to release more authority. He is wanting us to be able to ask for much more and have him do it. And I think individually and corporately that means that we've got to let him take us to that higher place so that we can operate in that higher level of authority. And I think a number of us have been feeling like the Lord was calling us to another fast, another corporate fast. And I've kind of been praying about when to start, and I think tomorrow is a good day to start. I just found out over the weekend that Mike Bickle at IHOP called a 21-day fast. They're starting on Monday. And usually when they start one of those, they plan for it a few months out. Well, this time they didn't. He announced it yesterday. And I just, I had a sense from the Lord that he's calling us to really intercede for this Convoy of Hope outreach that's coming up August 24th. And if we start tomorrow, we'll have almost 3 weeks to really intercede for that event, because this event is much bigger than just what's going to happen on that day, and that's going to be big enough. But the Lord is doing something in our city in the time leading up to this event. He's releasing something into this city. He's releasing something into our state as a result of the Church of Cheyenne coming together to bless the city. That's what this is. And I don't know how many of you remember, but the Lord gave us a verse for 2013, and it was Jeremiah 29, not 11, which is the one that's most familiar, 7. No, it's five, I think. No? It's not seven either. Where is it? Oh, I'm in chapter 11. That's my problem. Jeremiah 29. And yes, it is seven. Should never question my wife. But seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will find your welfare. Amen. So as excuse me, as the Church of Cheyenne comes together to bless our city, and I encourage our whole body to volunteer for this event, to show up Friday night for the volunteer training. That's at 7 at Lions Park at the ball field there, and to just serve and love the city. And if you want to be part of the prayer tent that I'm coordinating, then see me, because we really want people who can hear the Lord and minister the presence of the Lord, the healing of the Lord, do the ministry of Jesus in the prayer tent, because God's going to do a lot. And I need some families in this church who will step up and be willing to mentor families who come through that prayer tent and say, yes, I would like to be contacted by a church in Cheyenne. And that will mean actually doing Matthew 28. Where's... I had it here somewhere. Matthew 28, 18 through the end. When Jesus said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." That was a charge not just to people like me who are in full-time ministry. That was a charge to every follower of Jesus to do that, to make disciples and to teach people and to show them what a kingdom lifestyle looks like, and to minister the life of God to them and show them how to connect with God in prayer, and to see the kingdom come in another family in Cheyenne. Because that is how our city is going to be transformed, by the kingdom of God coming into families that are broken, and God coming and bringing healing and restoration and aligning that family with himself. That is when the kingdom comes, and that is when a city is changed. So talk to me later about that. in this, we will release the kids.
How interesting how God puts all this together. I'm teaching the children about intercession.
It's not on yet, or is it?
I'm teaching the children about intercession today. Interceding, being an intercessor, and it's Moses' life and how he interceded before the Lord on the behalf of all those people that were stiff-necked and against him, and because God was ready to wipe them out. But Moses talked to God and asked him to change his heart and actions, and he did. And kids can do this thing,
sweetie,
too.
You gotta go.
So let's
Grandma
go. Kids
Joy.
Age 4 to about 11.
Go with Grandma Joy, okay? Okay, you guys go have fun. We will continue on. So, a couple things today. As we're seeking for the Lord to take us to new places and allowing Him to tweak our lives, to tweak our corporate life, our expression of what this looks like when we celebrate Him together, I'm certain of one thing. So I'm going to share that with you today, that there is a shift in our awareness, a shift in our focus that the Lord wants to do right away. And that's part of what this 21-day fast is going to help us with. This church was called into existence by the Lord for the sake of the harvest. At various times we've had greater and lesser emphases on the harvest. He's calling us into a season where we have a much greater emphasis on the harvest right now. And we're going to look at Luke chapter 10 today because the Lord has some things for us out of that. But Cal is a wheat farmer. He knows that the field can be white for harvest. But if the combine doesn't come, is there a harvest? There's no harvest. It rots in the field. And that would be a really sad thing in our day. Because we've got to recognize that our time on this earth is limited. You know, our life hangs by a thread. But also, Jesus is returning pretty soon. And we don't have that much time to be fully obedient and to gather for ourselves, to save up for ourselves a reward out of our obedience. So I think what the Lord has been saying to us this morning through many people is, hey, it's time to put aside those things that are distracting. It's time to move on. And today I'm going to talk about one thing that the Lord wants us to move into. And that is the harvest. And what does that look like? It doesn't look the same to me as it did 20 years ago, when the harvest might have meant sharing with somebody the four spiritual laws. And there's nothing wrong with the four spiritual laws. But the whole point of the four spiritual laws is to introduce someone to God. To introduce someone to I Am. Who loves them and is for them and wants to be their healer, their provider, their sustainer, their strength. He wants to be all those things. So when I'm talking about the harvest, I'm talking about our responsibility as the people of God's kingdom to just introduce people to the King. And one of the best ways for us to do that is by sharing with other people our own experiences with the King. Because nobody can dispute that. Your own experiences and testimony with the King are real, and they are your own, and it is part of the key to victory and overcoming that God has given you. Because we overcome by the word of our testimony and the blood of the Lamb. So, I want you to have kind of a grid for what I'm saying. Now, so we as a body, we have kind of a unique calling in this city, because we're called to love and accept everybody who comes through the door. And we know it, and we actually do something about it. Many of you know Carlos Montoya. He's a man that we have loved and accepted and helped here over the last couple of years. Well, he came in this week to say goodbye to Randy and I. And I thought he might be here today, because he wanted to be here today to say goodbye to everyone. But I kind of suspected that he was not going to be here, because he didn't want to cry in front of everybody. So I'll do it for him. But he wanted to say thank you to this body. For showing him the love of God in a way that he'd never seen before. And he was doing good. But he's leaving town so he can go find work, and he plans to eventually come back. So when you think of him, pray for him. But we're called to love and accept people who are not just like us. And, you know, I'm blessed as I look out at this spiritual family that God has put together. I don't know what that would look like if somebody was just like us. Because we're as diverse a group of believers as I've ever seen God assemble together. And I love that. That is God. He loves diversity. He loves our differences. But as I think back to my experience in the 1970s, when the Spirit of God was moving on our nation, and there was a huge number of young people who came into the kingdom, and most of them brought their bare feet and their long hair and their electric guitars into church, and the church had no idea what to do with them, other than say, well, you got to get your hair cut, you got to change the way you dress, you got to get rid of that electric guitar, and then maybe we can talk. And we know what that did to the move of God. it was not the right response that the church had in the 1970s. And Lord, we repent on behalf of your church for turning away people that you loved and for judging them and trying to put them into a box that they were not going to fit in. So God, give us your heart for the people of our city. So, for us to change our awareness toward the harvest, I think we better get to this passage. Luke chapter 10, starting in verse 1. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." And he is saying that to us. The fields are white unto harvest. Right now, today, in Cheyenne, Wyoming. So, will you pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into the harvest fields of Cheyenne and southern Wyoming and northern Colorado? Will you agree in prayer? Lord, we ask you to send out workers into the harvest fields of Cheyenne, of southern Wyoming, of northern Colorado. Bring your church together. Prepare your church in Jesus' name. Now, it's really interesting what Jesus says right after that. Go! Okay, you just asked me to send somebody? Now go. And this is in the midst of him sending out the 72. And you could say, well, I really don't know what to do. And the Lord might say, well, that's good. Then maybe we can get something done. And you might say, well, I need some more evangelism training. And, well, hardly any of you need more of that. I know people who have been through 20 years of annual evangelism training and are still waiting to lead their first person to the Lord. So it's not about that. Okay? So let's go on and see what Jesus says. He says, go to every one of us. I'm sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. And he's not saying be rude or unprepared. He's saying, trust me to give you what you're going to need. In the natural, and know who I'm sending you to. And don't be distracted by those I'm not sending you to. That's why they weren't to talk to anybody on the road. They were to be focused going to exactly where they were sent. And when you enter a house, first say, "Peace to this house." If a man of peace is there, your peace will rest on him. If not, it will return to you. Stay in that house, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house when you enter a town and are welcomed. Eat what is set before you. Heal the sick who are there and tell them, "The kingdom of God is near you." So we're to be ministers of peace. We're not to be double-minded. That's part of the message that we already heard today from Sylvia and Elizabeth. There are things that want to distract us, that want to distract our thinking, that want to distract our living, our actions, and we need to be focused on the Lord. If ever there was a time for us to be more focused on the Lord, this is that time. The time to focus on the Lord and moving forward with the Lord is when the Lord has given an invitation, come up higher. That is kind of a standing invitation, but when he actually speaks it multiple times in multiple ways, it's time to respond. And that's part of the reason for the 21-day fast, is so that we can be more focused. We can lay aside purposely things that distract us, and we can place ourselves in a position of voluntary physical weakness so that our spirit is, so that we are more sensitive to our spirit. That's what it's about. And God likes voluntary weakness. But we don't fast to get him to do something. Hey, John. Don't want you guys to miss out on that. Bye, Patty. Those are some instructions I put together for the fast. We'll hand those out at the end. You guys need one? There you go. So we don't fast to try to get more favor from the Lord for our suffering so that he will do something for us. You understand that? The fasting is for us to place ourselves in a better place of receiving from him. That's why we fast. So that's what this is about. And if as a body, and I kind of feel like this is true, we're in some sense waiting for the cloud to move to show us exactly where we're going next. This is the posture we want to take in order to do that. in order to better hear from the Lord where he's going and what he's speaking to us, not only individually but corporately. So this is important. I'm going to skip verses 10 through 15 where he talks about some of the towns in Galilee and Phoenicia and makes some comparisons, because it's not really relevant to what he's saying to us right now. But we'll pick up at verse 16. He who listens to you listens to me. He who rejects you rejects me. But he who rejects me rejects him who sent me. And therein is some really valuable instruction for us. There's our part in this, and there's God's part. Our part is to be obedient, to go to the ones he's sending us to, and to speak the words that he gives us. The response is God's part. And he's saying, don't worry about the response. If they reject you, they're not really rejecting you. They're rejecting me. And they're not even really rejecting me, but they're rejecting I am who sent me. So just don't worry about it. And, you know, for us to know that Jesus is saying this, who was rejected to the point of being crucified by his own people, his people shouldn't let fear of man keep us from doing anything. Because he sure didn't. Because he had no fear of man. It wasn't even, there wasn't a drop of it in who he was. So then the 72 returned with joy and said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. He replied, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Now that passage has a whole lot of interpretations. I won't give you all of them. They were excited. They went out. Jesus said, go. They went. They did what he said. They went and they spoke about the kingdom of God having come. And then they demonstrated it by healing the sick and casting out demons. And you know, that's part of what we're called to do. We go, as we go with a focus toward the harvest, we go to the people God calls us to, and we speak that the kingdom of God is at hand. And in fact, what that meant when Jesus said it, is it meant that the kingdom of God is standing right in front of you. It's right here. Look. It is no less true when you and I say the same thing. Because for those of us who have entered into God's kingdom, we have been to the end. Jesus is the beginning and the end. We've encountered the end. And we are now messengers from the end to the people who still exist in the here and now, and they've not been to the end. And that Greek word is eschatos. Jesus is the end. And when we are right with him at the end, we no longer have anything to fear. Because the worst that this world can do is to take our lives, and our lives are no longer our own, so there's nothing to fear. We are his. And he takes care of his own. So we can speak the same thing to people. The kingdom of God is right here, it's right in front of you, and we can minister the presence of God to people, ourselves. Would you let me pray for you and ask the presence of God to come upon your being right now, and you can experience God? That is for you. And if you want me to pray for you to receive that today at the end, I would be happy to. It really surprised me the first time I did that. I was responding to God saying, do this. And I did it, and I really didn't expect anything to happen. But it did. And every time I've prayed that for somebody since, they have experienced the presence of God. So he wants us to be able to do that. And he wants us to be able to minister healing to people. And he wants us to be able to set people free from things that have them in bondage. And it's all toward the harvest of getting people connected to I am through Jesus. That's what the harvest is. It's getting people back in a right relationship to God, understanding that they truly are his, they are not their own. Because they've lived as though they were their own their whole life, but now there's a different kingdom available. And this is it. So Jesus said, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. And then he says, I've given you authority. What was Jesus talking about there? I mean, obviously Jesus was there when Satan was initially kicked out of heaven with the rebellion involving a third of the angels. Obviously, Jesus saw that. He was there. I don't think that's really what he was talking about. I think he saw Satan literally defeated when Jesus didn't fall during the 40-day temptation in the wilderness. That was the beginning of the end for the kingdom of darkness on the earth. Because that had never happened before. There'd never been a human that Satan wasn't able to trick into disobeying God and dishonoring God. But I think Jesus was actually talking about what happened when the 72 were sent out. Because we know from 1 Peter that The reason the Son of Man came was to destroy the works of the devil, and that we have been invited to participate in that work. In fact, that is our assignment. And that is what happened when the 72 went out and they did the works of the kingdom. The kingdom of darkness was beginning to crumble on the earth. And when you and I go out and do the same works, it is further crumbling. And that's what God wants to happen. That is the harvest. When the kingdom of darkness crumbles, people come into the kingdom, God's kingdom. But the last part there, Jesus said, "Don't rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." What he's really saying is, don't rejoice that you can exercise in this authority that I've given you. Rejoice that you have the authority. Because when our name is written in the book in heaven, then we have that authority. It's like an ambassador that our country sends to another country. Some of you know former Governor Sullivan from Wyoming. After he was done being governor, he was appointed ambassador to Ireland. And he served, I think, under Clinton in that capacity. So in Ireland, he represented the United States. And he spoke with the authority of the United States. So he had to be very careful what he said. He had to make sure that what he said was going to be okay with the president. Because if he said something that wasn't in agreement with the president, he might not be ambassador for very long. Right? Because his authority would be removed. Well, this is in a sense who we are. We, as representatives of the kingdom of heaven on the earth, we've got our names written in that book. And because our names are written in that book, we have authority from that kingdom to do the works of Jesus on the earth. It's not a disputable matter. It's like I was saying earlier that God has a lot more to lose in being, if he were ever unfaithful to us, than we do. Because his whole kingdom, his whole godship would be at risk. And he's not going to do that. I mean, he can't. It's not within him to be unfaithful. So when he gives us this authority, he gives it to us. But this is somewhat of a large but. There are levels of authority that we can operate in. And it's kind of like you know, representatives of the government or representatives of the army, you know, whatever. A private doesn't have the authority that a captain does. And a captain doesn't have the authority that a colonel does. And a colonel doesn't have the authority that a four-star general does. Because what a four-star general says happens. And this is kind of what I'm saying about what God is wanting to do with us. He's wanting to take us to a higher rank than where we're at individually. And as he does that, he's going to release more authority in this body. So we all have a part in this, in going where God is wanting to take us. Because we are in some uncertain times. We're very likely entering some pretty difficult times. And we're going to need that additional authority to do everything that God wants us to do in the days ahead. So a 21-day Daniel fast to help us position ourselves spiritually to receive from the Lord what he would give us, to allow him to show us where he wants to take us individually and also corporately. Back to verse 21. At that time, Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this was your good pleasure. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows who the Son is except the Father, and no one knows who the Father is except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him." Then he turned to his disciples and said privately, "Blessed are the eyes that see what you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings wanted to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it." And I believe that last verse applies to our generation. I really do. That many prophets and people of God have wanted to see what we are going to see, but they did not see it. And to hear what we hear, but they did not hear it. It's going to be a time of great difficulty and great anointing. It's going to be a time of pain and amazing presence of God. And many have prayed to see what we will get to see. The harvest that we will get to see is going to blow us away. I believe. And the Lord wants us to be praying into that for our city, for our state, for our region, for our nation. Yes, a great awakening is the hope of our nation. So a 21-day fast. I think it's time. It's time to seriously seek the Lord. So what is a Daniel fast? Many of you have been through this before. If you go to Daniel chapter 1, you can read what that looked like to Daniel. And basically, it's no pleasant food. No meats, no treats, no sugar. And I invite you to seek from the Lord what this looks like for you. But I also am encouraging everyone to fast from media and entertainment, and to use that time for more prayer, more time in the Word, more time meditating on the Word, and just asking God to do His work in you, to take you to a new place. Because, as I said when I started, for us to just continue to do what we've been doing and expect different results is not reasonable. This is a time to do something out of the ordinary, because we want deeper results. So that's what this is about. And I will have these handouts available right here. I invite every family to take one. And I invite as many as feel led by the Lord to participate in this. I don't want to make this a legalistic thing, so you're participation is voluntary, but I hope that many of you will join us in this. And Marty, what are the times of Wyoming House of Prayer?
Mondays and Fridays.
Yeah, I encourage you to participate with Wyoming House of Prayer down on the first floor in these 3 weeks and beyond, as we pray together for God to do what He wants to do, for us to receive His heart, His burden for this time. So I'm excited. We're about to eat a really good meal with meat and treats. So enjoy while you can. You will find that sugar is much less appealing to you after 3 weeks than it is right now. So let's pray, and we will have the prayer team up here to pray. If anyone I'll pray for anyone for impartation of ministering the presence of the Lord. We'll have the prophecy team over here. So let's enjoy this feast. So Lord, we choose to position ourselves before you for change. Lord, we want more. We want to go with you where you want to take us. So do a work in us so that you can release more to us. And Lord, I ask you to bless these people. I ask you to bless our commitment to you, bless our obedience to you. Do a work in us. In Jesus' name, amen.